The sermon today is going to be as much a report about our visit there as it is a sermon. If I could retitle it, I would. You know, these titles, you have to do them weeks ahead of time, and this one is okay. But I want to change it this morning. I want to call it Same, Same, But Different. This is a popular slogan on t-shirts and ball caps in Southeast Asia because it's a common phrase repeated in the markets of the region as peddlers try to get you to buy something, and of course they have to speak to you in the best English they can because you can't speak the local language. And so the phrase reminds all of us that though we are different on the surface, deep down we are very much the same. And while the sermon this morning talks about loving our enemies and doing good to them that hate us, I hope it also reminds us that our tendency is often to objectify others rather than to view them as very much like me in their hopes and dreams. And they remind us that our clarion call is to love those who are like us and to love those who are not like us, to love our friends and our enemies as well. The visit to Southeast Asia was a powerful reminder to me of all of this and a wonderful experience and a somewhat nostalgic one. It was my first visit back to the Philippines since my father passed away, and I will tell you that this made a huge difference for me. I'm going to get Mark to put up a picture of this part of the world, and just in case you aren't familiar with it. I always remember the kid that I taught one summer as a summer missionary in college, and I talked about the Philippines, and he said, yeah, he was glad to hear me talk about it because he'd learned so much about it in the Bible. And of course, he was thinking of Philippians. There is a difference between the Philippines and Philippians. I'm sure all of you biblical scholars know that, but I did want to take just a moment to show you the part of the world where I was. The island of Mindanao in the southern part of the Philippines is the island where I spent most of my childhood. It's the one here, the large one down at the bottom of the country. And if you can see on the west coast of this island is the city of Cotabato, where I grew up. And in the middle, right here, is the city of Malang, which is the city where, or the town, I should call it, not a city, where I went and did the lecture series at the college. The area that my father served as a church planter is the area between this coast here and the city of Malang in the middle. And so he and mom worked this entire area of the island of Mindanao, predominantly Muslim country, or Muslim island, as church planters back in the mid-60s to early 70s. In Malang was Southern Baptist College, founded by missionaries who fled China at the time of the Communist Revolution in 1949 and who went to the Philippines, some of them to this southern island, to establish this college. So for me to walk around Malang is to walk among ghosts and giants in many ways, people who shaped and formed me, both missionaries and Filipinos, in so many different ways. I was there to give lectures at Southern Baptist College, lectures that were very much like the ones that I did here last fall. And here is a picture of me actually at the college, preparing to give the lectures to a group of about 100 people who had come there. And of course, I focused on the Bible and mission and walked through the scriptures with many people who knew me when I was a boy or who were children themselves at the time. In fact, the president of the college was actually the generator boy when he was about 8 or 9 years old. He and I are about the same age. And his job as an 8 or 9 year old was to go around and crank up the generators at all the missionaries' homes in the morning and to turn them off at night. And so whenever we were in Malang, you knew that at about 8:30, the generator was going to be turned off by this little 8 or 9 year old boy who is now the president of the university in the town. One of the great moments for me was to have members of the Sarmiento Church attend the lectures. That church was a church that Dad and Mom actually planted on the island of Mindanao almost 50 years ago. And as a boy at the age of 9, I remember traveling with Dad to meet with the lumber company who owned the village to see if they would donate a piece of property for the church. And in fact, the lumber company did, and a church was started. And in just a few months, they will celebrate their 50th anniversary. And interestingly, in 1969, 50 years ago, just before Dad started that church, we were on furlough in the U.S., and a small mission chapel of Briar Lake Baptist Church in Atlanta provided 2 air conditioners to Dad so that we could bring them back to the Philippines. And the Sarmiento Church and that small mission church in Stone Mountain were established at about the same time. That small mission church is now known as the Smoke Rise Baptist Church in Stone Mountain. And whenever I drive by Smoke Rise Baptist Church, I say a little prayer of thanks to God, because every Friday night, Mom and Dad let my brother and me get in the same bedroom and crank up one of those air conditioners and sleep in heavy blankets and enjoy a cold night in the middle of the tropics. So I celebrated with the Sarmiento Church during that lecture series, and we remembered the good work of a missionary couple in their midst. So Southern Baptist College is quite an institution now, with a president named Alvin Bergante, who was the generator boy. And he runs the university that is responsible for thousands of elementary, high school, undergraduate, and graduate students, faculty, and staff. And President Bergante was gracious enough to ask me to give the first lectures in what we hope will become the Robert N. and Janet C. Nash lecture series that the college is inaugurating in their honor. Here's what impressed me about the lectures, and here you can see the attendees. I was amazed at their biblical knowledge. Now, you people are pretty good. But I want to tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I put all of you on one side of the room and I put all of them on the other and we had an exam of the Bible, they're going to win hands down, because it was amazing. They were putting me to the test, considerably to the test, as we went through the Bible and explored the scriptures together. They could tell the story with me, remembering the names and places and identifying passages by chapter and verse. Biblical literacy is alive and well on the island of Mindanao in the Philippines. And here you can see a picture of the attendees of the lectures, all from churches all over that island. One of the highlights for me was going with a Filipino pastor to visit the church that he had planted just outside Malang. And this is the little church with the tin roof that you can see here. The church is there because there were some squatters who lived down by the river, the Malang River, and on a regular basis, the river would flood. and their lives were not being lived in any sort of healthy way. And so eventually the local government moved them to another place, which became the little village. And the pastor there had come to the lecture series, and he asked me to accompany him on my only free afternoon, when, to be perfectly honest, all I wanted to do was take a long jet lag driven nap. But he came along and wanted to go and take me to see his church. He had a little pedicab tricycle that I'm going to show you in just a minute. And I can't describe what it was like getting my 280-pound frame into this little cab, not knowing if I was going to be in it for 2 hours or 20 minutes. Thank God it was only about 20 minutes. Here are a couple of pictures of Pastor Joseph and the church. This is him at the front of the church. And then the next picture is a picture I wanted you to see. He was quite proud. They had decorated the sides of the sanctuary with these gift-wrapped boxes. And apparently they had just done that recently. And he took as great a pride in these decorations as we have taken in our renovation, in our painting, and all that we've done in this church ourselves. You see, we are the same, but different. I thought about all the work that we had done as well. And here's a brief, very brief video of our trip through the village of Sitio Paglao. I'll let Mark show us the video.
Let me show you now the motorcycle pedicab that we took to come here. This is for your family, right, to travel. So we're going to take a ride in the pedicab. So we now are riding in the pedicab through the village of Sitio Paglao. So you can see.
I stopped it there because the villagers were laughing at me trying to get out of the pedicab. I was reminded of a couple of things during my time in Malang. One was the resilience of the church that remains. Missionaries come and missionaries go, but the church in a place remains. People come along in the wake of church planters from places like the U.S., and they become church planters themselves. Missionaries leave when trouble comes. I mentioned this was a predominantly Muslim island, and there have been lots of tensions between Muslims and other folks in the population. And through all those difficulties and challenges, the people who are there remain and make their way as the church through those difficulties and challenges. Colleges founded by missionaries are nourished and sustained by Filipinos who receive the institution in trust and continue to nurture it along in good stewardship. And what emerges is a church that is stronger by virtue of the fact that there are no international missionaries, because of the fact that without those missionaries, the church itself there becomes the sustainer. We sometimes seem to be concerned about the fact that there may not be as many Western missionaries as there used to be. And the fact is that this may be a very good thing. The gospel is planted in a place, and in time it becomes something far different than the missionaries ever dreamed that it could become. The strongest kind of gospel is the kind of gospel that is indigenous to a place, rather than the kind of gospel that is imported into a place. To put it another way, the gospel itself is the same, same, but different. It is the same at its core, but in its various cultural expressions, it is much different and much stronger, because my gospel is informed by the gospel of the church in that place. Same gospel, different gospel. Same, same, but different. And so now Southern Baptist College is as strong as I've ever known it to be, and I'm grateful for the opportunity that I had to connect with the place again and to learn from those who asked me to come and teach. And from Malang, I flew through Manila and over to Bangkok and then up to the town of Maysot on the Thai-Myanmar border. The refugee camp of Mela sits on the border about a mile from Myanmar, and this is a picture of the Bible school in that camp. There have been as many as 30 to 40,000 refugees, Karen refugees, living in this camp. And what happened over time is they were displaced by the government of Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, and forced to flee across the border into Thailand, where they have remained for about 30 years. They are hugely Baptist because it was Baptist missionaries like Adoniram Judson and George Boardman who evangelized the Karen in the early 19th century. Over time, the Karen then became Baptist. They fled across the border, and numbers of them have now been resettled in the U.S. This is another example of the gospel that becomes stronger in the context of a particular people's story rather than a gospel that is imposed upon a people to try to change them. It's very interesting because within the Karen tribe was the story, an animist story, of a golden book that had been lost to the tribe, and the belief that a white man was going to bring the golden book back to the people. And it was the Karen who connected the coming of the gospel in their midst to this ancient animist story in their tradition. And seizing upon it, they embraced the Christian faith with this Karen understanding and have become one of the strongest followers of Christ in the world. The Karen also believed that one day a bird would come and carry them to the ends of the earth to share their story. And so their resettlement by airplane became the source of powerful meaning for them. Like Israel before them, God would make of them a great nation and bless them, and they would become a blessing to the families of the earth. And so this Bible school is educating Karen and Kachin and Chin peoples for the purpose of strengthening the church in Burma and around the world. And here are some pictures of the hallway of the classroom building where the room I stayed in was located. And Mark, if you'll keep going, this was the door to the room. And then this was my bed with the mosquito netting in the room where I stayed while I was there. And the school was gracious enough to allow me to come and interview its faculty about the story of the Karen people and their own Christian experience. It was a powerful story that will come out in later sermons that I preach. And here is sunrise on the morning that I departed the camp. And Gyeth and I would go on from Thailand to Myanmar and make a trip much like the Judsons once made down the Irrawaddy River to the city of Bagan, where about 1,000 years ago, Buddhism first came into Burma. It was brought over from Sri Lanka, and the first Buddhist king to convert started building these stupas on the Bagan plain. And it's interesting to juxtapose this story of Buddhism coming to Burma with Christianity coming to Burma, both having significant impact on the country. We went on to the city of Yangon, where we toured some of the Buddhist temples there, and here a couple of images of the huge reclining Buddha in one of those temples, which it's hard to describe exactly how large this thing is, but to give you some idea, I think I am about the size of the head of this Buddha. So it's a pretty big Buddha. That is in a reclining position in the temple. Again, I was reminded that we are the same, but different. We have a choir. This is their choir. We have a worship committee whose responsibility is to provide floral decorations for the sanctuary. They have a similar committee, which here was arranging the flowers for the temple. We have a hospitality committee that prepares the fellowship hall for social functions. They have the same committee shown here putting down carpets as opposed to tables for a talk by one of the monks. We have ushers. They have ushers. These are much more persuasive than ours. They stand and wait until you pull out your wallet and put something in the plate. A few of us sleep during the sermon. The same is true there. What do I take away from all of this? First, I take away a renewed appreciation for our capacity as human beings to love each other even in the midst of the difficulties and challenges of life. Somewhere deep inside most of us is a deep capacity to love. We were embraced along the way by friends and strangers alike, people we knew and people we had never met before. We even have a dim sum Chinese lunch set up with a couple from Atlanta that we met on the flight from Bangkok to Mandalay. It's a small world. And Gaiath made constant friends along the way, showing again the love that women have for each other all over the world. I take away the realization that we are as much alike as we are different. Deep within all of us is a love for family, a sincere desire to know more about the world that we live in, and an appreciation for music and art and food and fun and family. And I take away the realization that we can overcome our differences if we are just willing to stop and really listen to each other. Indeed, we are the same despite our differences. And it is this willingness to embrace both our sameness and our difference that is the foundation of love. You love me when you recognize the places where you and I are the same. But you also love me when you affirm the places where we are different. The part of me that I possess that you do not possess or perhaps don't even understand. And I love you when I recognize the places that you and I are the same. But I also love you when I affirm the places in which you and I are different, sometimes in ways that I don't even understand. There was one moment in the trip that brought this all home for me. To say that I gorged myself on Asian food would be an understatement. You all know how much I love it. I had dried fish for breakfast, rice every meal. I think I ate every noodle in Asia during the trip. I loved it all. But we had passed a Burger King in the Fuquoc airport, and we needed a snack to get us through the evening, so we got Burger King Whoppers. And I will tell you that that Whopper was the best burger I ever put in my mouth. And I discovered again that I love them both, the Asia in me and the American Southerner in me, because somehow deep down they are the same. but different.